once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. Yes, I greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka. hey, it's all good in Christ Jesus. You know, I know. You're going through some struggles. Yes, I know. You're going through some tests. You're going through some trials. You're wondering, why is all this taking place? What's going on? Why am I having to struggle with these things and live through this life? And all? Yes. Look, it's part of the journey. I was talking with a sister in Christ earlier today, and you know, one thing that God does with us is He takes us through a whole set of life experiences. It's part of the journey. It's part of the abundant life experience. And a lot of these things that we go through, they are difficult. They're trials. They're tribulations. They are struggles. They push us naturally. They push us physically. They push us mentally. They build character into our soul because of the things that we need to go through. They help us to become a more refined, better person. More of a reflection of who Christ Jesus is as He shines through us. It's necessary that we go through these things that we face. I think the tendency, the desire to want the easy path is very tempting. It's very tempting for any follower of Christ. It's tempting because the flesh side of us, the human side of us, doesn't want to deal with these things, doesn't want to go through these things. But for a spirit being, for a child of God, you must. If you don't, you will be stillborn. There won't be any life in you. You know, it's necessary that we go through this stuff. I look at this life experience as such, and I've tried to, in recent times, see it through a different set of eyes. You know, rather than looking at the thing that's going on around, trying to see God's purpose for what He's doing with me in it. See, He's doing something with you and I. He wouldn't allow us to be in the experiences that we were in unless there was a greater purpose for it. So, you know, a statement that God gave me early on when I was starting out was, you know, that He would give me the need when it was needed. He said, I'll give you the need when it's needed. And I found, because when I stepped out the very start, you know, I did it in faith. You know, I had no safety net. I had no backup. I had no, I just was doing whatever God put in front of me to do and trusting Him. And He told me in the middle of that, I give you the need when it's needed. And the reason that I needed to hear that from Him was because, you know, in a lot of ways, I didn't really have a plan. You know, I just had a direction. I just had the voice of the Spirit of God leading and guiding me, but that was it. So, you know, but part of that too, so He gives us the need when it's needed. He also, the reason too that the needs change and shift is because the experiences of life change and shift. There's times in my life where I've needed a lot and I've had a lot. There's times in my life where I've not needed much and I've not had much because I didn't need it. So, you know, there's a scriptural parallel to that, which is with the manna in the desert when the children of Israel were eating it. And God said, you know, gather it for 6 days. And each day that they gathered it, that they had, you know, gather enough for that portion for the people for the day. And then what did He say, you know, going into the Sabbath? He said, gather enough that day for 2 days. Why? Because they weren't supposed to go out on the Sabbath. they were supposed to stay in. And when the people tried to go out or they tried to hold it for longer and other days, it would rot. But when it was kept for the Sabbath, it would always stay. It would always be miraculously preserved for that extra day. Whereas any other time that they tried to keep it overnight, it would just rot. It would just spoil. And the point God was making was, look, you follow me, and you follow my direction, and what you need will be taken care of when you need it. And he can make things last when they usually wouldn't last. He can stretch things when they usually wouldn't be able to be stretched. He can do whatever he wants to. He's God. This is his paradigm. The paradigm that he created, and he has lordship over it. So, you know, he can flex and mold and bend things whenever he feels like it, if it furthers his glory and his purposes. Absolutely. So, yeah, that's kind of what it is, really. You know, and that's kind of what we live with, deal with, experience, go through in this life. I mean, it is the living out of the purposes and plans of God as his servants and his ambassadors here in this dimension. So the life experiences change as well. Things that you and I go through, the things that you and I struggle with, all of that will shift too. And, you know, whatever it is that you may be facing, just remember a very simple thing, which is this is for a reason, and this is for a season. You can make a bumper sticker out of that. For a reason, for a season. That is, you know, part of what the life experience is for the follower of Christ. For a reason and for a season. You and I face a number of things for a reason and for a season. And many, many times, the time when God will end that is when we've accomplished the purpose he sent us into in the first place. Because you and I will have accomplished, finished, completed that work, and been able to move on in absolute, with just absolute just pleasure, knowing that we've been faithful to the express will of the Father. So, you know, right now, the world itself is in an interesting place. It's an interesting dilemma. It's an interesting time. And in this time, the things that we face, you know, they're difficult times in the natural. They really are. They're difficult times in the natural. Because the times of stretching, the times of trial, the times of tribulation, the times of betrayal, the times of backbiting and fighting and all kinds of shenanigans. All of that is there. But in the midst of all of that, God is in control. And in the midst of all of that, God will protect his people. He will find a way to ensure the safety of his creation amidst the things that they go through. Yeah, and here's the other side of it too. If he withdraws his hand and allows for us to leave this life, to pass away, to disappear, you go on to be with the Father. You know, all of us do, because we love him, we've been called by his name, and we are his. So when we go through whatever it is that we may go through, you know, he'll either protect us through that entire experience, or he'll bring us home. So it's a win-win situation, if you can see it from the eternal perspective. But here's something too to keep in mind. The moment that this life is over, we go to be with the Father. So, but also, once this life is over, there's no chance for us to positively impact this dimension, this paradigm, because we'll have gone to the next. So, you know, you don't want to leave this life not having made, you know, the impact and fulfill the purpose that God had for you. You know, and your life is impactful. As a child of God, your life does impact. It does make a difference. So, you know, the call in that is to ensure that you know, you remain in a position where God can work through you. And you don't try to get out, but rather you go through. Because the places that God would like to shine His light are dark places. Because that's the place where the light can do the most damage. In a dark place, when the light shines, it does the most damage to that darkness. In a bright place where the light shines, it's just brighter than it was before. But in a dark place, when the light of hope shines, it shines bright. It cuts through that darkness. Amazing things happen. So, you know, God intends for the best for His people. God intends for His creation to know His voice. And Jesus said, "My sheep will know My voice. They won't follow the voice of another." God wants you to follow His voice and to follow Him into difficult situations. To follow Him all the way to the cross. That's what He wants. You know, He doesn't want you and I to live mamby-pamby Christian lives and to die on cue. No, He wants us to be about our Father's business, to make the impact that He left us alive in the earth to make. And out of that impact, you know, He wants to lead and guide us into all truth through the experiences that we end up living and having in this life. So, you know, the challenge is that because we're surrounded by all the evil, all the deception, all the fraud, all those different things, because we're surrounded by those things, you know, the challenge that we sometimes end up having is, you know, how now do you live in a secular society when, you know, the things of the kingdom are not honored? You know, how now do you and I live in this world when this world is at enmity with God? Well, one thing you do is you put your shoulders back, you pick your chin up, and you look people straight in the eye, and willfully you talk to them. And you say, you know, hey, I'm a child of the living God. My life belongs to Him. That which I do in this life is all an overflow of my relationship with Him. Period. You know, a lot of people, they make things for themselves. They make difficult situations for themselves. And, you know, the number of people that are really committed towards solutions is few and far between, especially in Asia. You know, what people do in Asia is they, you know, they take a good idea and they copy it. You know, but God, you know, He makes originals. And, you know, I mean, people, when they're connected to Him, they also have pretty good creative thought, pretty good original ideas. You know, God does that. He gives, you know, His people good ideas, creative ideas, you know, lots of stuff that they can do, say, and just, you know, God takes care of those that are His. So, yes, there is a way. Yes, there is a path. Yes, you can live this life, the abundant life that Christ promised. Yes, it is available. But it's not what people think. The abundant life is not what people think. You know, Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." But when Jesus walked through this world, the life that he lived, because he's the ultimate example of it, what was the life that he lived? What did Jesus say? A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. So obviously, the abundant life was not amassing in this world. So that's not the abundant life. Is the abundant life about prestige? About notoriety? Well, no. Because, you know, many of the things that Jesus did, you know, he kept trying to get people to not talk about him. He kept trying to get people to not say some of the things that he was doing. He kept trying to, he would, like, sometimes when he would do miracles, he'd actually take the people away from the crowd, you know, and heal them. Not to, all right, let's set the whole thing up for the big spectacle and then we'll do the miracle. No. Because his focus was not on building a following, but rather doing the will of God. Now, if a following happened, great, fine. But if your focus is on a following, you're gonna slip. Because, as in after Jesus feeding the 5,000, how all those guys wanted to go and make him a king. You know, instant voting block. You know, they were ready to do it, and Jesus didn't go for it. You know, that wasn't the way. That wasn't God's plan. That wasn't the intention for his creation at that time. The intention was to give us a Savior, to pay the price so that you and I could be restored to the Father connection. Not so that he could be like the world, be like everybody else in the world, do things the way the world does them, and try to put a godly label on it and call it okay. No, he wasn't going to create traditions of men for the sake of fulfilling a religious box and a religious obligation. No, what Jesus did was give us the example of the abundant life, lived it in front of all of us, and then said, you know, go do likewise. The call for us is for us to follow his example and to follow the life led by his Spirit. Now, what that means for us too is in your heart, that means you got to let it all go. See, in the natural, you may have or you may not have. That's secondary. It's inconsequential. What matters is in your heart, have you let it go or not? In your heart, does it have a hold on you? In your heart, will you follow the Savior or are you going to go the way of the world? What's the condition of your heart? See, you remember the rich young ruler? What did Jesus do? When he came up to him and said, Master, what do I lack? He went through, he said, keep the commandments. He says, I've done all these since I was a kid. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, go, sell, you know, all your stuff, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And then come follow me. Now, why did Jesus say that to him? What was the issue? Because when Jesus saw that man, he loved him. He had love in his heart for him. Why did he say that to him? Well, it says in the scripture that that man went away sad. Why did he go away sad? Because he had a lot of possessions. I mean, whether you have possessions or not, that's not the big deal. What the issue was that that he didn't have the possessions had him. Because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And though he owned a lot in this world, the things in this world that he had owned him. Remember the parable of the sower? The seed sown among the wheat, the seed sown among the tares. What happened after it sprouted up? The weeds grew and choked it and made it unfruitful. What are those weeds? The worries, the riches, and the pleasures of this world. Those are the things that choked it out, made it unfruitful. Aha! So you and I, you know, we have that in front of us. We have that offer from the enemy. You know, and ultimately what it's for is to choke out the life of God in you, to make it unfruitful. The worries, the riches, the cares of this world. Where are those, by the way? Well, they're all outside of you. See, the kingdom is within. And because the kingdom is within, the goal of the enemy is to get you wrapped up without. To get your mind caught up in your past, to get your mind wrapped up in thinking about the future, to get your mind worried about the cares of today and all of the trappings and the trimmings of all of that stuff, and to keep you from going within, to keep you from being in this very moment right now, even as God's got me speaking this, sharing it with you, to keep you from even being here right now with this word, with this message, so that your attention is split. It's somewhere else. It's outside. It's in another place. It's something else besides what God is doing. The kingdom is within. God wants to establish that lordship and connection within the core of your soul. Whereas the enemy would wrap you up with the worries, the riches, and the cares of this world, and get you caught up without. You know, the funny thing for me is, by God's grace and God's design, excuse me, over the last, maybe decade, maybe 15 years, I've had the chance to literally live the entire spectrum. I mean, from as poor as you could possibly be, I've been and seen and been around and lived in, to all the way up to as wealthy as you can imagine, and been in, been around, lived in, socialized with, you name it, and everything in between. And in the process of this, some things that I can tell you from my own personal experience that coincide with the Word of God. You know, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. I've seen people that have been very, very wealthy and been very happy, and people that have been very poor and very sad. And I've seen people that have been very wealthy and very miserable, and people that have been very poor and also very content and joy in their lives, and everything in between. So whatever state life finds you in, you can be at peace right now when you walk with the Savior. You can be at peace right now when you live in the moment that you have, because God wants you to not be caught up with the worries, the riches, the cares of this world, but rather to focus your heart on things above, to focus your mind on things above, to focus, to allow your spirit to live in that connection that He designed you for. You know, we weren't designed to live a desolate life. We weren't designed to live a miserable life. Yes, there is going to be troubles and tribulations and points of sorrow along the way, because you will be touched by the pain of what you experience. If you're still alive and you walk with Christ, you're going to be touched by all the problems and the things that you see going around you. But in that process too, God uses us as His ambassadors to make a difference in all that's going on there as well. You get that chance. You get that opportunity. You get the chance to make a difference. You get the chance to live a true life. You know, it's not about what we do. It's about what we overcome. You know, you and I were called to overcome. We were called to live a fulfilled life. See, it's not about the possessions that you have or the abundance of what the world would say is important, but it's about that which is within and being fulfilled within. And only that'll only happen in connection with the Father. That'll only happen in connection with the Spirit. Now, other people might try to live off of your connection. Other people might try to drain you like a battery. But in the end, that connection is yours and the Father's. And if you walk in obedience, you will stay free from the traps, the tricks, the snares of the enemy. God may put you out there as bait for a purpose to expose them so that they can be revealed, so that they can be shown for what they are. But, you know, you yourself are going to have to walk this thing out with Him. He'll show you, He'll protect you, He'll lead you, He'll guide you. He will always make a way for you, but you got to walk it out. And in order to do that, it's going to take 100% commitment on your side. You can't do this half-heartedly. You can't with shallow intention and a haphazard approach make it to the end of this life and stay on track with Him. What's required is a full commitment in the core of your being to the work of the Father. Now, along the way, every now and then, some things come up that just don't make sense. You know, I think one of the struggles I think that I've had in recent times, yeah, and I'll share this with you because, hey, that's just how we do. We just talk about what's on our hearts and on our minds. But one of the things that's been a bit of a struggle for me personally has been when I've got brothers and sisters in Christ that, and I know that they love God, but then they disagree. You know, and you know, very strongly disagree about things. You know, and things that sometimes are, you know, I just like, wow. You know, and you know, you want to be on the same page. You want to be in agreement. You want to believe each other, but then you're like, wow. You know, these are both people that love God, but yet there's this, you know, such a strong, you know, strong polarized opinions, it would seem. Now, there's something in the scriptures that helps with this as well, for me. In Acts 15, with Paul and Barnabas, they had such a sharp contention about John Mark. Paul wanted to take him with them in the ministry, and Paul wanted to leave him, didn't want to take him with them in the ministry, but Barnabas wanted to take him. Barnabas being the encourager, Paul being on the side of the mission, Barnabas being on the side of the missionary. And in that case, they were both right. They were both correct. They were both, Paul was on the side of the mission, Barnabas on the side of the missionary. Paul went on to do the work of God. Barnabas, you know, helped get Mark on the right page, restore him, and what ended up happening down the line? Paul requested for Mark subsequently in future missions. And that's something that I've seen too. If you've got people that love God, and if you even if you have some confusion, if you've got people that really, truly, in the core of their being, love God and are seeking for His plan and purpose for their life, give it a little bit of time, because God's got a way of working things out in His own time. And sometimes, some of the things that are allowed to happen, one of the reasons that they are, is to just shake you off of depending on man. Seriously. It's just to get you to not look to a man, but to look to God. Yeah. You know what? Seriously. Because there is no one between you and the Father. The work of the Spirit of God, you know, the blessing that came out of the cross was that, and the freedom from the curse of the law was that we no longer needed a man to get to God. That was taken care of in Christ Jesus. So you and I no longer needed a man to get to God. So God doesn't want you to go behind a man again. And so even if the man is one of his, he doesn't want you to be dependent on that person. He doesn't want you to look to that person like you were looking to God. He wants you to honor and respect, you know, his servants. Yes, he wants you to receive that which they give in the Lord's name, you know, with an open heart and a grateful heart. Yes, you know, but not to elevate them beyond who they are, because they are just servants, and they do that which is the bidding of the master, that which is the bidding of the Father. Period. That's it. So, for you and for I, if we were to put them in the wrong place, the long term detriment of that is that the end product of that is that you're going to end up putting an issue for yourself in the long run, because you're going to be looking to a person and not to God. And God's got a way of moving people out of the way. When people, because it's not about people. You know, what did Paul say? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? You know, when people were saying, hey, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, I follow Peter. And what did Paul say? He said, who are these guys? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who is Cephas? They're just messengers by which you heard the message. You know, but one man plants, another man waters, but God causes it to grow. So don't follow people. Don't follow people. Look, the reason that this, I don't even know if I want to call it a ministry, because I guess I can. I mean, this ministry, Faith Mix, you know, whatever you want to call it, the reason that we've set it up this way, the reason God had us set it up this way, the reason that we, it is what it is because we are not trying to build a following. We're not trying to get people to follow us. We're not trying to build our own little fiefdom, our own little kingdom, and scalp souls. No. All we're doing is God gives us something to share, and we share it. And we put it out there. Why? Because you need to walk with God for yourself. You need to walk with Him for yourself. You need to know Him for yourself, walk with Him for yourself, trust Him for yourself, listen to His voice for yourself. You don't need a man to get to God. You don't need us to do it for you. The Spirit of God will do it for you. He will lead and guide you into all truth. But you got to ask Him. You know, one reason why people always looked for a man rather than wanting to you remember Moses, when the God was speaking to the entire nation of Israel from the mountain. And, you know, it was a tremendous sight. It was a terrifying sight. And what did they say to Moses? They said, Moses, we don't want to keep hearing this, because if we do, we're going to die. And he said, look, you go talk to him, Moses, and you come back and tell us what he said. And historically, there's something ingrained in people that want to, you know, get somebody else to go talk to God on their behalf and then tell them what God said. Because you know what? That's a real easy way to discount the message. That's a real easy way to get away from ever having to. Because why? Because you can discount the messenger. And how can you discount the messenger? Well, it came through a flawed human being. And the person is flawed, and you can find something wrong with them. You know, particularly those that you know really well, because a prophet's not received in his own hometown. So, yeah, it's easy. So, what does that do? Then all of a sudden now you can discount the message. You don't have to take, because you can discount the messenger. You know, that's also, I think, you know, one reason why it's like, you know, we just do this the way that we do it. Because it's like, you know, we've focused on, as much as we can, just get the message out and let it be what it is. If you receive it, receive it. If you don't, you don't. That's it. But we still love you guys. You know, I mean, we're on a journey as well. You know, we're seeking to follow the Father. We're seeking to do His will. We're seeking to please Him. And this is the path that we're in. And in the path that we're in, hey, here we are. Here we are, this day, this moment, with whatever struggles that we have, with whatever trials that we have, with whatever good that we have, all of that, you know, here we are. Great. Now what? Well, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So have joy. Joy that's in Him. Don't look for it outside, because you're not going to find it. You might find moments of temporary happiness and bliss here and there, but joy, unspeakable, full of glory, comes from Him. Ah, you know what? You're much better off than you think you are. You're much better off than you give yourself credit for. God has blessed you abundantly, and He's given you the joy of a relationship with Him. And when you leave this life, you leave all of it. You leave all the pain, all the struggles, all the heartache, all the heartbreak, everything. You leave it behind. None of it you take with you. So that being the case, what are you worried about? It's short this time here. It's not that long. You can make it. Come on. Oh, don't cop out and try to figure out how to get out of here early. No, you can make it. You can make it. You can go through. You can be strong in all you do. Trust Him. Love Him. Let Him lead the way. And as He leads you, as He guides you into all truth, live that truth. Love that truth. Understand that He has you. And in all things, let Him be glorified in and through you. And take a deep breath, relax, and know that He's in control. Don't worry about anything, not a thing, because He is absolutely 100% in control of all. And with that, hey, God bless you guys, love you. As always, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We absolutely love to hear from you guys. You know what? It's been fun getting mails from a bunch of you that have never written in. You've been listening to us for a long time, and you just want to write in. And you know what? That's been really nice. Glad that you guys are out there. We haven't been able to get to everybody to write back, but you know, we have definitely, we've read the mails that have come in. So unless you're a stalker, in which case your stuff goes into a spam filter. And nobody reads it. But anyways, if you've been listening for a while, if you've been listening for over, a couple of years, just drop us an email and say that you're out there. We'd appreciate it. We'd just love to know that you're there. Just say hi. faithmix@gmail.com. We just love to know that you're there. And we love you guys. We pray for you. Keep on keeping on, and we'll catch up with you sometime really soon. All right, talk to you later. Bye.